Saints are often depicted with the object of their martyrdom. The object of her martyrdom was Jesus, her son. Welcome back, everybody. Today is Friday, and we are on Meditation 131 from Divine Intimacy.
And we're talking about the Seven Sorrows of Mary, a devotion that has come alive in our lives, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. We love Our Lady of Sorrows. Like, she's so beautiful. Have you ever seen an image of Our Lady of Sorrows and the different swords that are piercing her heart? It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. We fell in love with this devotion through St. Alphonsus. And so we're going to turn to him for today and give Father Gabriel just a little break, because St. Alphonsus is so rich in this area of talking about the Seven Sorrows. And you might be wondering, what are the Seven Sorrows? I think it's appropriate to talk about this on Friday, because Friday we think about the Passion of Jesus, where Our Lady's sorrows are directly connected to the sorrow and the Passion of Jesus. So you might be wondering, what are the Seven Sorrows of Mary? Well, I'm glad you asked. Janelle?
Okay, let's see if I can remember. Number one is the prophecy of Simeon. Number two is the flight into Egypt. Number three is finding the child Jesus in the temple. Number four is Mary meeting Jesus on the way of the cross. Number five is seeing Jesus crucified on the cross. Number six is taking Jesus down from the cross. So if you think of the Pietà and Mary holding Jesus in her arms. And number seven is the entombment of Jesus, where she lays him in the sepulcher.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about the sufferings of Mary today. Going right back to the Annunciation, we might think it's unusual. Well, how can Mary have sorrow at the Annunciation, where she's told she's going to be the mother of this great king, the Messiah? Well, we have to remember, Mary is full of grace. And St. Alphonsus says, because of that, she understands the Old Testament prophecies better than the prophets who wrote them. Why? Because she's full of the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So she understands the fulfillment, or what it means in Isaiah when we talk about the suffering servant. So when the angel Gabriel comes to her and says that she's going to be the mother of this king, she understands the fulfillment of these prophecies and knows in that moment her son is going to have to suffer greatly. And so at the very beginning, she sorrows.
How great was Mary's sufferings? St. Alphonsus writes, hence, St. Anselm asserts that had not God, by a special miracle, preserved the life of Mary, in each moment of her life, her grief was such that it would have caused her death. St. Bernardine of Siena goes so far as to say that the grief of Mary was so great that were it divided amongst all men, it would suffice to cause their immediate death.
It is a very useful meditation to place yourself in the position of Mary and look at the Passion of Jesus through her eyes. And so now go to the crucified Christ. You're standing at the foot of the cross and you see your son crucified. What was going through Mary's heart? Doesn't it hurt to see the ones you love hurt? So we as parents can understand that. In the last little while, we've had a couple instances where our children have been hurt. I think about our poor Sarah, and she fell down, and she had this huge gash on her forehead. It was a big cut, and I don't do very well with those kind of things. And I'm like, oh, we got home, and I'm like, we got to take her to the emergency. And that poor little girl, like, we had her holding it, and she came back, she's all healed up really nicely with that special glue that the doctors use. But it's like our hearts ached for Sarah, you know, because she was bleeding, the cut was on her forehead. Now, we love so imperfectly, yet we as parents sorrow over our children's sorrow. How much more Mary sorrowed at the Passion of her son.
St. Alphonsus writes, therefore, Blessed Amadeus rightly affirms that the afflicted mother, at the sorrowful sight of the torments of her beloved Jesus, suffered far more than she would have done had she herself endured his whole passion. The reason is evident, for as Saint Bernard says, the soul is more where it loves than where it lives. If Mary then, by love, lived more in her son than in herself, she must have endured far greater torments in the suffering and death of her son than she would have done had the most cruel death in the world been inflicted upon her.
Why did she sorrow more than every other person? Because she loved Jesus more. The thing about love is that it unites itself to the object being loved. And so if you love your money, and now your money's taken from you, you have great sorrow because you're attached to your money. Or you have a dream, and that dream you love so much, and it's ripped from you, you sorrow so much. Well, Mary loved Jesus more than any human person, because love unites itself to the one that is loved. Think about how God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son. So he united himself to mankind and became one of us out of love. And then out of love, he gives us the Eucharist. So to unite ourselves to him. And the church, in the language of the church, we say that we are to be partakers of God's divine nature. God wants us to unite himself, ourselves to him. And so Mary treasures Jesus, loves Jesus, and so suffers with him at the cross.
What did Mary suffer at the cross? St. Alphonsus writes, "No one can doubt that Mary suffered in her heart all the outrages which she saw inflicted on her beloved Jesus. Anyone can understand that the sufferings of children are also those of their mothers, who witness them. Thus also did Mary suffer all those torments, scourges, thorns, nails, and the cross, which tortured the innocent flesh of Jesus. All entered at the same time into the heart of the Blessed Virgin to complete her martyrdom." So what this quote makes me think of is the statue of the Pietà by Michelangelo, where I'm sure a lot of you have seen it, where Our Lady is holding the dead body of Jesus in her arms. And saints are often depicted either as a statue or in a painting with the object of their martyrdom. And St. Alphonsus describes Our Lady as having gone through her own martyrdom, and the object of her martyrdom was Jesus, her son. And that's why in that statue, she's holding him. He is the object of her martyrdom.
St. Alphonsus later explains that when Jesus was placed in the tomb was also the heart of Mary. Now, why would he say that? Well, because he refers to what Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart is also." And brings up the point, well, what did Mary treasure? She also in the scriptures, Mary treasured all these things. You think of the Nativity, she treasured all these things. So he says that Mary's treasure was Jesus. So if you were to stand at the tomb of Jesus, you would see one tomb, one body, two hearts. Because where your treasure is, your heart is also.
Father Gabriel writes, "The Church's invitation, let us contemplate Mary's sorrows, sympathize with her, and ask her for the invaluable grace of sharing with her in the passion of Jesus. Let us remember that this participation is not to be merely sentimental, even though the sentiment is good and holy, but it must lead us to real compassion, that is, to suffering with Jesus and Mary. The sufferings God sends us have no other purpose."
So we've often spoken about suffering with Jesus, uniting our suffering to Jesus, but we can also suffer with Mary. Now, how can we do this on a practical note? Well, one thing we can do is pray the chaplet of the seven sorrows of Mary, where we recall all the ones that Janelle mentioned at the beginning. It's a beautiful, beautiful meditation. And the good news is we've made a video on this meditation. You can pray along with us. We're going to link here at the end of this video. We'd encourage you to take advantage of it today. So with that, please share with us below what stood out to you and why. And it's Friday, so we'll take the weekend off and we'll see you Monday.